The Bible reading for the sermon is the text which was read with special emphasis on whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for life and for faith and for the help in the past to preserve us in this life. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit will dwell within us and guide and possess us and help us to understand the meaning of your word for us, and especially keep us constantly seeking your will, Lord God, and give us wisdom and courage to follow it. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes I say to my wife, I must be getting old, because it seems like the quality of the family is getting worse all the time. But then I look at the statistics and no, the quality of the family is declining with a rapid rate, right up to yesterday's Wall Street Journal, which fact after fact is shown us proving it. And the children who are being reared count on the imprinting learning how to live in a family life in the reality of family living. And the family living is disappearing as a model for them. So then we extrapolate from that and look into the future and say, no, this whole thing is going to get worse. And we are like Jesus' family outside, concerned about him. Hey, look, this is on a collision course. And Jesus then points that to this will of God, that's a power, the willpower of God for family concerns. The first of which is for life itself. It is the will, power to be. The will to be able to affirm life. And many times, in tragedy and crisis, that is taken away from us. We no longer have that willpower. And that statistic was reported again, too, recently, that the number of young people taking their own lives is doubling each year in certain age categories. So we look for this willpower of God to help us say yes to life. And we find in the biblical resources indications of how God's will, you know, which directs history like a caravan, with Jesus leading the way and all of the apostles following and the prophets and so on. And we want to get with that to seek and find the will of God for our family concerns. And in these Bible accounts, there, notice that the big historical events actually are in family situations. Adam and Eve in the garden. But then Cain murdering Abel. And God has to intervene to provide cities of refuge to rehabilitate, to conserve life. He provides the sacrifice for Isaac with the ram caught in the thicket. God provides. He makes known the help of his angels in Jacob's ladder, and they're coming down as Jacob has offended his brother, is in danger of death, and he is looking to God for help with his head on a rock for a pillow. And God provides again some hope for him that he can live, the willpower to be alive. Joseph is left for dead in a pit, and then is a leader in Egypt when his brothers come down there in the time of famine, but Joseph has provided through the 7 years of good crops so they would have food for the famine. And when he reveals himself, the brothers are astounded. He says, you meant it for evil, but God brought good out of it. So God is always intervening. He is showing his will, and it's a will to be, for to live. We have this situation this past, last half of this past week, and even this morning I'm talking to the chaplain who is ministering to the Dunker family in the hospital by Madison, Wisconsin. So they're making funeral arrangements. But what impacts us is that here are three generations of family, the grandparents of the little six-month-old baby that was killed in a wreck, they witnessed the car going off the road. They're the first ones on the scene. You have that generation. Then you have the father and the mother of the little children. The mother's killed, and they're now trying to, I think they'll be buried in New York. They're making funeral arrangements. That hasn't been settled. And the little baby, because that mother is from New York. And all of these things are impacting. Meanwhile, there's a wedding of our student, Rod Dunker, in the Detroit area. You have a wedding, three generations of people which are facing all of the problems that we normally face and the concerns of the family, together with this tragedy which impacts them. At which time, like in the biblical accounts, in our family concerns, we cry out for God's help, his willpower to be. And it's always, these are God's faithful children, seeking help from him, a relationship to him. But it's not only then that we live and have existence. A second stage is the willpower to become, to develop our talents in life, in a vocation, in serving other people, in using our freedom responsibly, which is shown in the account of the prodigal son. Now we come into the new family of Christ in the new covenant. And he tells about the prodigal son who takes his inheritance and goes to the far country, squanders it, and thinks of he's at the end of the rope. But he comes to himself. Yes, the lights are burning in the father's house. He can go home again. And he can go home in all of the celebration of the father saying, my son who was lost is found, who was dead is alive. And there's celebration and a new obedience, a new start. Now the will of God is moral, ethical responsibility. How do we use freedom? What does God want us to use, do with these talents that he has given us? Now in this, Jesus has recently, catharsis cleansed this evil spirit out of the man who is deaf and dumb. And now he tells this parable. And if we don't use our freedom responsibly, creatively, productively, then he brings seven more evil spirits and occupies us. And it's evil and destruction. We're doing the will of the devil and not of God. And so God makes himself present in the burning bush. And the Ten Commandments are given. What is the will of God? Three commandments, the first table. As Jesus summarized it, love the Lord your God with all your strength, mind, soul. The second table, seven commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. First of all, it's this power to be, the willpower to be. The will of God is for life for us. To rehabilitate, to conserve this life. The second is, love your neighbor. That we're responsible, and here we find in our relationship to the people of our family. Love your father, honor your father and your mother. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill, don't steal, don't covet. All of these, and Luther interprets these in the commandments, meaning to the commandments, help, be positive and constructive and creative in all of these relationships. Now, Jesus concludes that the evil spirits occupy our minds, our souls, our hearts, and we are evil and destructive or useless. And such is, he said, this evil generation. Now, this generation repeats that same old process. There's an account that was reprinted recently. Maybe you read it. A boy's affluent neighborhood graduating from high school. Well, some of the other boys are going to get new cars, so this boy tells his father, you know what I'd like? Well, let's go out and look at the cars. And he went out and they found one they liked. And they come back, and then his high school graduation. And at the high school graduation, his father gives the son a Bible. Oh, the boy is outraged. He slams that down and leaves home, you know, for the far country. And years later, he gets a notice that his dad has died. He comes home and he's going through the things in the house, and he comes upon this Bible that was given him at the graduation from high school. And he starts examining it, paging through it, and he finds a check. It's dated the day he graduated from high school for the exact amount of the cost of the car that he and his dad had chosen for him. He would have done well to seek the will of God in that Bible, to honor his parents. In fact, as teenagers, we find that Bible very helpful. I read Proverbs. My parents were separated when I was 5 years old. And when I read Proverbs as a teenager, my mother had given me this Bible. My father had taught me to pray, and that was the best. Those are the best things you could ever be given, that Bible and prayer. More important than any sports car at graduation from high school. My friends who got those sports cars at graduation from high school, they were rusted out by the time I got through college. And so, there it told her, beware of all of the deception in seeking and finding a spouse. That's good advice. That would do a lot to help in the family concerns, to have a good marriage to start out with. In fact, in 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, about verse 18, it talks about that. Those who do the will of God are those who find unity already when they're yoked together. And then I found there an emphasis of this father for his son on wisdom and prudence, and that was a real motivation for education. And finally, God gives us the willpower to be one. And that is, we're separated in death. Tragedy strikes as it did along the road by Madison. We got enough problems just to face the regular things that happen in the family. But now we have to face the biggest stress, the biggest problem. And that is grief. As these relatives did at the time of the deaths at the wreck. And at this point, we pray. And they want us, incidentally, to pray for them with all that they're going through. That's their message to us. And I can remember so many times I'd pray. I did radio programs, hundreds and hundreds of radio programs, and I'd just have a little time. And I'd pray that God would help us and protect us and save us. That took it all in. And that he would, when we're separated with those of us who are together in the family and our loved ones and the family of Christ in the church, that he would again bring us together in heaven with all of God's faithful children. Well, that's the only answer. That we can be one. As the Father and I are one, so he wanted us to be one with him in his heaven where he is at the right hand of the Father. And that's a comfort that we want to bring in proclaiming in our lives. As I was interviewing a minister, I said, you know, what motivated you to go into ministry? He said, one evening, my mother said, go out and call your brother for supper. He had to go across the street the next block, and he said, I went through the door. I noticed I closed it, and it didn't click. And I got across the street, and I heard a screeching tires and a thud. And I looked around, and there, my little sister Alice was by the curb dead. She had followed me out to call my brother. That death, separation of the family was devastating, he said. We need, you know, this is what I say, we need the willpower of God to go on and pick up where we left off. And he said, the people from the church, you know, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort was communicated there in the Holy Spirit being present in them as they were bringing that comfort to this devastated family. And he said, that helped us so much, my dad could get up again and go to work. And when I saw how much helpful that was, he said, I decided that I wanted to study for the ministry and bring that help to other people. Amen.